In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Moses' words are daunting. Daunting to us now, and certainly to the Israelites who first heard them. At the end of his life, Moses gathered Israel together and told them their story again. He told them the story again of how the Lord had freed them from slavery, how he had fed them in the wilderness, how he forgave their rejection and led them to a bountiful land of their own. Standing at the threshold of the land that God had promised, Moses reminded Israel who the Lord is and who they now are in him, a holy people belonging to God, a beloved people whom God had saved and provided for. So now Moses asks them, "Will you reject the Lord who loves you, who gave you life and wants to give you more? See," he says, "I set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and your length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." The relationship of the holy people of God to their Lord is not a matter of preference or sentiment. It's not about their feelings or their wants or their convenience. This is a matter of good and evil, of blessing and curse, of life and death. And not just for them. Whichever path they walk, their children will follow them. A father can lead entire generations to their deaths by choosing himself over God. Or he could lead them to the Lord, to life, to blessing. Which shall he choose? Which have you chosen? The life of faith is no game. It's no part-time hobby. The life of faith is not simply for stuffy old fogies or weak-minded sheeple, as the world would see it. Deathly serious matters are for mature adults, for real men and women. So how ashamed must the Corinthians have been when the Apostle Paul had to address them as impulsive, irresponsible people of the flesh, as infants in Christ? They were spiritually stunted because they refused to grow, refused to move from milk to solid food. They preferred the empty sugar of cheap grace. That means they saw Jesus' forgiveness as license to do anything they wanted, even nothing at all, instead of recognizing that Jesus' grace frees you from that life bound to sin to live a new life under his grace. You are freed to be good and freed to do good. They wanted the freedom of Jesus without the life with Jesus that comes with it. They refused this solid food and preferred the sickly sweet poison of sin. That diet leaves them empty and hungry. And what crops up among hungry infants is jealousy and strife, petty bickering, and cold apathy. That's evidence of the path that you're on. Now, when we do any of this, When we reject Jesus' word and choose ourselves, no matter how subtle or small or reasonable we think the reason is, we're choosing sin. We're choosing evil. We're choosing death. We act not according to the spirit that God has filled us with, but rather the flesh that would enslave us again. You can see why it's so vital that we come to this feast here, where God fills us with His Spirit and feeds us with His Son. It's vital that we come to the divine service, to the supper, to feast on this word with our mouths, and also to Bible study, to the family altar, to devotions at home, to feast on the word with our ears. It's vital because we need the strength He gives to carry on through this barren world. We need the love He gives to fill our hungry hearts. We need His life to fill us to the brim, because death has left us hollow inside. Now, all that sounds very, very dramatic. But what if we don't really feel that spiritually hungry? What if we're actually a bit bored? What if we can think of a dozen things that we'd rather be doing and don't really see the point in being here all that often? It's just the same old, same old. Now, that was the point of a certain man who once wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. "I've gone for 40 years now," he said, "and in that time I've heard thousands of sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time listening, and I think the preachers are wasting their time preaching anything at all." You can imagine this started a real controversy in the letters to the editor column. And it went on for weeks until someone finally responded, "I've been married for 40 years now. And in that time, my wife has cooked tens of thousands of meals for me. But for the life of me, I can't recall the entire menu of a single one of those meals. I know this, though. They all nourished me and gave me the strength that I needed to do my work. If my wife had not fed me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today." We can't ever assume that we already know everything that God has to teach, that we're already so mature that there's no more need to grow. So we come to the divine service and to Bible study because where the word is purely preached and taught, right there, God is giving the growth we need to live. This is how God feeds you. This is how God keeps you alive. This is how He makes you mature, through this preaching, through this supper, and no other way in the world. Not through the sunshine in the park, not through the wind in the woods, not through the warmth of the blankets on your cozy bed. Only through His word. That's what He told us. It's like Paul says, one Christian plants the seed of the word, another waters it by his preaching, but it's God who gives the growth. Now, you farmers and gardeners understand this. Plants don't grow because they think they feel like it. They grow because they're alive. And if they don't grow, they're dead. If someone doesn't understand this, well, neither does a toddler understand much until he's taught. We have to be taught that it's deadly to stick our fingers in electrical outlets, or that too much sugar rots our teeth and destroys our health, or how to tell the difference between a sheep and a wolf. So also, we must be taught not to play with dangerous sin, thinking that we can control it, or not to get fat and lazy on spiritual junk food that tells us what we want to hear and so rots our souls. Or how to tell the difference between a shepherd who feeds us God's true word and a teacher who will fleece us, herd us down that wide path to hell, and leave us bleeding and alone in as our despair and our sin tear us apart. Just like young boys would grow into men, we must be taught. We must be disciplined. We must be fed. And so we come here. Not because we always like it, but because we always need it. You always need Him. You need Jesus. If any of us thinks we don't, if we think we're okay on our own, as we are, well, Jesus' preaching today will sober us. In God's eyes, our anger is murder, our lustful thoughts are adultery, and both make us liable to hell. Do we have the courage to cut off our hands or to gouge out our eyes to save ourselves? That is, do we have the guts to cast off every temptation and every source of sin in our lives? Or will we cling to our sins to the end and be thrown into hell, still clutching them? In ourselves, we don't have the guts. In ourselves, we are too cowardly, too selfish, too childish. And that's true of all of us. That's why each of us needs Jesus. Because Jesus is the true man. He did obey the Lord's will. He walked that hard and narrow way. He conquered Satan and his every temptation. He conquered even death. And as a true man, he did all of this for you. Grinning Death and the ancient dragon were stalking towards you, a helpless child, claws raised and teeth bare to devour your heart, tear you bloody, and bury you forever. But Jesus stood in the way. And so they tore into him instead. They smashed his face and pinned him to a cross, but he still refused to back down. He would not give up because you need him. He fought back with his unshaken faith, with his pure, innocent blood. He won victory by his suffering. And with his last breath, he shouted in triumph over your abusers. He rolled the stone of his empty tomb right over their heads, pinning them to the doom of the grave. And he strode out to take you up in his arms and hold you forever. He cleansed you of your filth. He bound up your open wounds. He covered your shame with his own righteousness. He even fed you his own body and blood because your soul was starving. You need this man. You need Jesus. It's Jesus who teaches you to be a man like him, to be a true, free, holy human being. He's the one who died and rose so that you would live. So he's the one who teaches you how to live. He teaches you how to love the Lord your God by walking in his ways and keeping his commandments. When you choose life, you aren't choosing to work up your own willpower and hoist your own bootstraps and try really hard to obey God now. You aren't choosing yourself. You're choosing the man, Jesus. Or rather, you recognize that he chose you. Now you're simply continuing to live the life that he won for you, the life that he still gives to you, the life he still feeds, the life he still teaches you how to live. We live his life, or not at all. So repent of your sins and let Jesus take them from you. Live in him, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and your length of days. Live in Jesus so that you and your children may together dwell in the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers, that land which is the entire new world to come in the resurrection. Live and eat now the holy food your Lord has prepared for you, so that you would grow up into the true man that he makes of you, into Jesus himself. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.